Does anybody know? I bet Samantha knows what we're going to do today. We're going to have something special today. What are we having? We're going to baptize a baby. That's right. And have your parents told you anything special about what it means or why we're doing it or anything? No? Okay. Do you know what we use to baptize your little brother Tyler? We're going to use a shell. Yes, we are. And you know what? You know what? Because you're a big sister, you're going to choose which of these shells we should use. You like that one? That one's kind of different, isn't it? Yeah, okay. Now, that's the shell. You want to go hand it to your mom. Go hand it to your mom, and she can hang on to it. Then I won't lose it. And we're going to use, with that shell, we're going to use, what is this? What is that? What's in there? Water, yes. It wasn't as hard as you thought. No, there's water and there's a bowl, and we're going to pour the water into the bowl. And do you think it's like magic water or anything different about it? Does it look any different? No, no. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to ask God to bless this water and bless the person we're about to baptize. And who's that person? Your little brother Tyler? Yeah? Yeah? Okay. You know what you get to do? Do you want to pour the water in here for me? Okay, you can pour the water in here for me. You take the pitcher. It's a little heavy, two hands. And you pour some water in there. Does it look any different? Does it look anything special? Yeah, it's just regular old water. Okay? That's enough. That'll work. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. And we're going to ask God to bless this water. And one of the things we also do is we make promises. We make promises about baptizing Tyler. And you know who gets to make those promises to say, I promise? Your mom and your dad. Yeah, yeah. And I bet they did that when they baptized you, right? Yeah. And all the rest of you can talk to your parents and ask them, was it like this when they baptized you? Ask them if they made promises, and the whole congregation will promise that they will love Tyler and support him and care for him his whole life. Everybody here is making that big promise about Tyler. That's pretty amazing. And when you were baptized, if you were already baptized, the whole congregation made those promises about you too. So these are questions that you can ask your mom and your dad and ask them what it was like and where you were baptized. And if you weren't baptized, ask them what they want to do about, you know, will you be baptized when you're grown up? Or so you can ask those questions. And you know what? You get a front row seat. You get to sit right here and watch all the baptism. Is that cool? You can sit right here, and then after the baptism, we'll say our prayer while they're showing Tyler off, and then you get to go downstairs with Mr. Bill. All right? Okay. So, you folks can take a front row seat right there for me, please. Thank you very much. And after you're done, too, you can, you've got the basket of stickers and things here. You can probably find something in there you like. And you know why we do baptism? God already knows that we are all God's children. But we humans, we people, we need something sometimes that we can touch so that we can feel like it. And like Jesus invites us to his table so that we can eat bread and feel like, oh, I have been fed by God. And when we have a baptism, we feel real water. And we know that we have been washed by the love of God. So we do these things for us. It's a gift of God so that we can feel, we can taste God's love. If you look in your bulletins, they were bringing children to Jesus that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, Jesus was indignant and said to them, and Jesus took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands upon them. Jesus Christ calls us to make disciples of all nations and to offer them the gift of grace in baptism. Do you, who witness and celebrate this sacrament, promise your love, support, and care to the one about to be baptized as he lives and grows in Christ? Jesus came to John to be baptized by him, but John tried to make him change his mind. I ought to be baptized by you, John said, yet you have come to me. Jesus said, let it be so for now, for in this way we shall do all that God requires. The sacrament of baptism is an outward and visible sign of the grace of God, inasmuch as the promise of the gospel is not only to us, but also to our children. Baptism with water and the Holy Spirit is the mark of their acceptance into the care of Christ's church, the sign and seal of their participation in God's forgiveness, and the beginning of their growth into full Christian faith and discipleship. Please come forward, Kevin, Michelle, Tyler, and family. Kevin and Michelle, do you desire to have your child baptized into the faith and family of Jesus Christ? If so, say, we do.
We do.
Will you encourage this child to renounce the powers of evil and to receive the freedom of new life in Christ? If so, say, we will with the help of God.
We will with the help of God.
Will you teach this child that he may be led to profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Say, we will with the help of God.
We will with the help of God.
Do you promise by the grace of God to be Christ's disciples, to follow in the way of our Savior, to resist oppression and evil, to show love and justice, and to witness to the work and word of Jesus Christ as best you are able? If so, say, we do with the help of God.
We do with the help of God.
Do you promise, according to the grace given you, to grow with this child in the Christian faith, to help this child be a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ, by celebrating Christ's presence, by furthering Christ's mission in all the world, and by offering the nurture of the Christian church so that he may affirm his baptism. If so, say, we do with the help of God.
We do with the help of God.
Samantha, we have a job for you. Can you hold the bowl for us? Can you? Okay. You're going to hold this bowl. I'm going to turn a little bit this way. There you go. Very good. Okay, it's a little bit heavy. You got it? There you go. Let us pray. By your Holy Spirit, gracious God, bless this water. By your Holy Spirit, save those who confess the name of Jesus Christ, that sin may have no power over them. Create new life in the one baptized this day, that he may rise in Christ. Glory to you, eternal God, the one who was and is and shall always be, world without end. Amen. Okay, I need a, Joyce, you want to hold this for me? Come over on this side. Get that cord so I can read there. By what name will your child be called?
Tyler.
I need a shell here. Okay. There we go. Okay. You're gonna hold it up real high. Can you hold it up real high? Very good. Tyler, what are we doing? Tyler, Alan, Yarger, you are baptized in the name of the Father, our Creator, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, our Comforter. Okay, take him up. Take him up. Yeah. Tyler. The Holy Spirit be upon you, child of God, disciple of Christ, member of the church. May you be blessed. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have filled the world with joy by giving us the gift of Jesus. Bless this newly baptized person. May he be filled with joy. May he never be ashamed to confess a personal faith in you. Bless these, your faithful people. Unite them in the peace of Christ and in the company of the Holy Spirit. And the people together say, Amen.
Amen.
And let us greet Tyler Allen Yarger, a member of the church. Thank you. Very good job, Samantha. Good job. We will sing. We will stand and sing as he comes around to be greeted. Yay! Good job. Good job. Yes. Good job. Good job. We do our prayer. We're gonna make a circle. And when we say amen, we go, huh? Thank you, God, for these children. Thank you for all your children all over the world. We ask your blessings, your care on them. We ask that you guide us each day so that we may be yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can go downstairs with Mr. Bill. And from the New Testament, Jesus is teaching the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 1 to 13. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." Here ends the reading from Matthew 25. My message this day is called Love Always. Some of us don't. Maybe you don't like this teaching from Jesus, the bridegroom slamming the door in all those faces. Those who bought and carried extra lamp oil shut out the women too poor or scatterbrained to have been prepared. It sounds as if the faithful do not share, do not care for one another. I got mine. Too bad for you. Not a generous notion, nor a compassionate arrangement. Are we too delicate for such harsh images? Do we think we need to be protected from every unpleasant image or idea? Troubled, disturbed by the teachings of Jesus. Ray Bradbury said, "We need not to be let alone. We need to be really bothered once in a while. How long is it since you were really bothered about something important, about something real?" Maybe Jesus had a better reason than TV and movie producers to bother us, upset us. Remember that Jesus used hyperbole, shocking examples, dramatic images to capture the attention and stimulate the thinking of his listeners. Jesus spoke of a camel trying to get through the eye of a needle. In Matthew 7, he said, "Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye?" He probably did not intend for you to squeeze a camel literally through the eye of a needle. He told stories wild enough to capture the attention of his listeners. He taught a lesson in a dramatic story memorable enough to keep us telling it and pondering it thousands of years later. Worked, huh? Okay, Jesus has our attention. What might we learn? Expect the groom at any moment. Expect Jesus to show up. Pastor Dennis Sanders grew up in Flint, Michigan. And the children say, Amen. We're glad they're here. Expect the groom at any moment. Expect Jesus to show up. Pastor Dennis Sanders grew up in Flint, Michigan, child of two auto workers. Back then, Flint had a population of 200,000 and General Motors employed 80,000 workers. Today, the population of Flint is half and GM employs 4,000 people there. Those of you who watch Tiffin or other cities shrink can fill in the human stories. Foreclosures, depression, divorce, kids leaving school and leaving town, cities suddenly without income and property taxes, dealing with vacant homes, school consolidations, unpaid debts. Reverend Sanders thinks the lack of planning in Flint made it worse. As the auto industry shrank, city planners buried their heads. Good or bad, we resist change. If only they could stay this little. We hope the impending whatever will wait for someone else. They can take care of it. If we whistle past the graveyard, the bones will not rise. Yet, there must have been a reason Jesus told us this story, a good reason, good news. Maybe we missed the point. Did we get hung up with the sleepy bridesmaids left outside pounding on the door? We can get stuck complaining, whining. It's not fair. No one told us. It was not supposed to be like this. It used to be better. The last wedding was not like this at all. Perhaps we should move inside with the groom. I think he wants us there, ready, eager, rings on our fingers and bells on our toes. A wedding, a feast, a banquet of blessings for heaven's sake. Jesus wants us to always be ready, no matter when he shows up. And remember that story about sheep and goats from this same chapter of Matthew 25? Jesus told us that when we visit prisoners, care for the sick, give cool water to the thirsty, clothe the naked, and feed the hungry, we are doing all that for Jesus. Feeding a hungry person is like feeding Jesus. And here he says he might show up anytime. Jesus is coming, look busy. Dorothy Day wrote, "The mystery of the poor is like this, that they are Jesus. And what you do for them, you do for him. It is the only way we have of knowing and believing in our love. The mystery of poverty is that by sharing it, making ourselves more poor in giving to others, we increase our knowledge of and belief in love." Flint native Reverend Sanders now serves disciples in United Methodist congregations in Minneapolis. Back in the 1950s, when the Methodists were so segregated they had separate bishops and systems for white and black congregations, an African American Methodist church was going to be torn down for urban renewal. What would they do? A few blocks south, a mostly white Methodist church reached out its arms in welcome. media, including the New York Times, thought this was earth-shaking, a white church welcoming a black congregation in the 1950s? Hennepin Avenue Methodist Church did not see the big deal. Jesus said to be ready for the groom. Be on the lookout for Jesus everywhere, always. Those Methodists were simply well-prepared bridesmaids. You never know. Maybe Jesus is among those noisy neighbor kids. Maybe he is an old man from Syria trying to shelter his daughters-in-law and grandchildren in a cold, crowded refugee camp. If you took the time, you might discover Jesus in that chubby young woman who cares for your loved one in a nursing home while she worries about her little boy left with a sketchy babysitter. Or perhaps Jesus lives just down the street and wonders how to pay for the car repair and the electric bill, but certain he can go to fish for bags of groceries again this month, especially for cereal for the kids. We can stand around pounding on the door, whining that life is unfair. We can complain about declining attendance, fewer dollars in the plates, or we can plan ahead. We can learn from congregations that are growing in mission and participation. We have the same lamps, the same issues. We have all been invited. We can keep in mind a wedding feast awaits. Think of the bride having her hair done, the groom polishing his shoes. Preparing is not a chore, but a joy. That weary woman in the Kroger line may not know there's a wedding feast coming. Perhaps you should let her know. Your granddaughter and the young couple next door might want to join you as you feed the hungry and drill water wells in Africa. You could share the good news. A banquet awaits. We do not know when or where. The bridegroom is coming, though. He may be dressed in blue jeans with ragged holes, or he may seem entirely self-contained in a dark suit and silk tie. To be safe, we might just want to love them all, listen to them all, care for them all, invite them all. Everything changes, all things turn to dust, but do not fear. Our God is hosting a banquet, a grand wedding feast. Silly young bridesmaids, that's us. We cannot imagine what that wedding hall will look like, what kind of food will be served, or what songs we'll be singing. Trust the host. It will be awesome. Meanwhile, open your arms in welcome. Any one of those strangers might be the groom. Remember what Jesus told us about feeding the hungry and loving our neighbors? Be ready for wonderful and love always. Amen.